And I've seen a lot of people who go out to witness to people in bars and here in the open air and this in the street and go out to the streets and evangelize. I say, can you show me in your church where are these people who come from these streets whom you converted? The answer, I've never seen even one. They're just fooling themselves. They're satisfying their conscience by saying, I did some evangelism. I'm a bold witness for Christ. That's not God's full purpose. God's full purpose is to build them into a body, to build a family. Every single person that I bring to Christ must become part of my family, just like every single child of yours must become part of your home. It's because this concept of the church as a family is not understood by most people. They don't understand God's full purpose is this. And so it's very, very important for us to understand. And in order to build this type of church, I'll tell you, there's one fundamental, if you were to ask me, give me one in one sentence, the qualification to build this church. Okay. I can give you in one sentence, but you have to amplify it into many more things, but here it is in one sentence. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we read, the last part of verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Qualification for building the church. You have to give yourself up completely. You have to give yourself up completely, totally, everything that you have and everything that you are. All that I have and all that I am, Lord, it's yours. Use me to build your church. If you hold something back, you can't really build a church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how the church is built. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, dear brothers and sisters, any of us can build it. If you come to the Lord and say, what is the minimum I have to do to go to heaven and that type of attitude? Yesterday I told you about two types of Christians, those who are merely external and those who are inward. And the external types only see the external actions of Christ, the miracles, the healings, the good on the outside. And the inward type of Christians see the inner life of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to transform them into that likeness as the Spirit shows them. In the same way, we could also divide Christians into these two categories. Those who say, what is the minimum I have to do? And those who say, what's the maximum I can do for God in this one earthly life? And I want to say that every single person sitting here is in one of these two categories. And you know yourself which category you're in. What is the minimum I have to do to go to heaven? What is the minimum I have to do to be a part of this church? What's the minimum I have to do to have a good testimony before the elders? What's the minimum I have to do to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I believe the main reason why many people who seek for the baptism in the Holy Spirit never get it and will never get it is because they're always asking, what is the minimum I have to do to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I'm not surprised you never get it. Try another approach. Lord, I don't want to be a minimum Christian anymore. My whole attitude, I want it to be, what is the maximum that I can do for the Lord in the one earthly life I have before I leave? For all that the Lord has done for me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus didn't come to earth and say, Father, what's the minimum I have to do for you? Tell me what's the minimum I have to do and then I'll come there. It's a pretty useless place, this world, but if you have something for me to do, tell me what it is. I'll do the minimum and I'll come back. I'm sick and tired of being here. Is that how he came? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I really believe this is the reason why some people never experience the type of life the New Testament speaks about. A life of continuous joy. Where you're an overcomer. You know, the New Testament speaks about overcomers. The New Testament speaks about the church as the bride of Christ. What would you think? How happy do you think a marriage is going to be if the wife, on the day of the wedding, says, hey, listen, tells her husband, tell me, what is the minimum I have to do to be a good wife? That's not going to be a very happy marriage. You know how people who love each other want to do everything for each other. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. And if we want to build a church, any of us can build it. Man, woman, young, old, if you're going to be this maximum type of Christian. Not what are past marks. See, in earthly things, we never follow that principle. You take any area, when you look for a job, many of you look for jobs, do you calculate what is the minimum amount of money I need to survive in Bangalore or in whichever town you're in? And just let me look for a job with that much salary. Do any of you do that? No. You say, with my qualifications, what is the maximum salary I can get? Yeah, when it comes to money, we are pretty sensible. When you look for a marriage partner, you don't say, what are the minimum qualifications? Yeah, this girl or this boy has reached my minimum qualifications. You say, can I get the best boy, the best girl? Don't you have that attitude when you look for marriage? In every area, when you have children, and your children go to school, do you tell your child, listen, pass marks are 35%. I'm quite happy if you get 35%. 35% in English, 35% in science, 35% in history, 35% in everything. Total average, 35%. Praise the Lord, you're a good son. We never say that. We keep on pushing them to get more and more and more and more. And even if the person's got 85, you say, hey, son, daughter, you can do more better than that. Why is it only when we come to the church and to Christian work, we have this attitude of, what is the minimum I have to do? That shows we don't love Jesus. That's the fundamental problem with Christians who are totally unable to build a church. I was saying the other day about Adam and Eve. They had the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the devil diverted them from the tree of life to the tree of knowledge. You know, it says there in Genesis 2 that this tree of life, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and the tree of life were there, which God had put right in the center of the garden. And let's assume that Adam and Eve were aiming for the tree of life, and the devil just diverted them. Try the tree of knowledge first. How does this apply to us today? I'll tell you. Turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. So what I was sharing yesterday. Then you know what the tree of life is. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. I am afraid that like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, drew her away from the tree of life to the tree of knowledge, he with his craftiness will lead your minds astray from the tree of life, which is simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ. You got what the tree of life is now? That is the tree of life for you today. Simple, pure devotion to Christ. I'm afraid, Paul says, like the serpent diverted Eve from the tree of life, he will divert you from the tree of life. Now you know what the tree of life stands for. And you can get diverted from that to knowledge. Knowledge of the new covenant, perhaps. You see, I've understood all the truth about victory over sin. I've understood all the truths about the new covenant. I've understood even the truths about planting churches. That's not the tree of life. That's the tree of knowledge. simple, pure devotion to Christ, if it doesn't begin here, you'll never build a church. And I believe this is the reason. I shared with the elder brothers that if you're not building a church of people who have got a simple, pure devotion to Christ, it'll never be the church. Just because you got the right pattern, sing the right songs, preach the right doctrines, that's not the New Testament church. The New Covenant church gathers around the tree of life. An Old Covenant church gathers around the tree of knowledge. That's one way to put it. People who gather together to accumulate knowledge, come, you can come for a conference. To gather around the tree of knowledge, we want to know what's good, what's evil, what is all about the New Covenant, and teach us all this, and we fill our heads and our minds are filled with all this knowledge, and the devil has led astray. We should be there under the tree of life. That's where the New Covenant church is gathering. Two or three are gathered. I am in the midst. Jesus is in the midst. And I believe the mark of a New Covenant church is that Christ is in the midst. That you go away from a New Covenant church meeting and say, boy, the Lord spoke to me today.